terms of health. This is following on from the expose on the Sunday program just this last weekend. Gone, great program, absolutely great program, but a couple of issues that were raised there. I just want to talk about the Zero Suicide Aotearoa report. That's a special debate happening in Parliament, and that's where you've been currently. Can you just explain to us a little bit more about that? That's a cross-party report.
Parliament. So a bipartisan approach, and just listening to the debate, it's still happening. So I've come out to take this call because it's just interesting listening to members who are talking about the bill. But essentially the underlying message is that, as we know, Claudette, suicide is preventable. And we've got some mass challenges in our health system at the moment, particularly for mental health, but also addiction services. And so having this report on the floor that all members are debating is great, but like everybody else, it's the next steps.
Can you just tell us why it was that Louisa didn't get a call and why National Guard had given her a call?
No. So many of us, including myself, I wanted a call. So as you know, Claudette, in Parliament, you only get so many slots, and then you go hamu around other parties to try and get a slot. So look, Dr. Shane Leti gave her graciously his slot for her to speak on, and I just think it shows how significant the bill is to all members in the House that not everyone who wants to speak has been given that opportunity.
Okay,
but I'm glad that Louisa has, as the Labour rep on that committee, I was able to make a call on it.
Ka pai. Thank you very much for that. Well, let's go to Tai Dawhiti now. I want to talk about that that program. It raised a couple of issues. One of them was around the Māori Health Authority. It had stated in that program, the Minister, Penny Henare, wasn't interviewed on that program. But I want to know whether or not your people in Te Tai Dawhiti, Eka Rō Dawhiti, are confident that the Māori Health Authority is going to turn the tide of the deficit health services into Te Tai Dawhiti, because that's what was stated by the reporter, that Minister Penny Henare said that wait till the Māori Health Authority kicks into play and we will see a turnaround of services. Surely he can't be right. I mean, surely.
So, Claudia, can I just say doing nothing, i.e. keep doing what we're doing, the very issues that that program raised will continue to be alive and unaddressed, particularly on the coast. And as we know, the coast is quite a distance from Gisborne. We've got a dropping population up the coast. Many of our kaumātua are up there. And obviously we've got a life expectancy that is 13 years shorter than anybody else. So these are real challenges and real challenges for our people up the coast. If we don't do something completely different, will not get addressed. And so the Māori Health Authority, completely untested. So we can't say what it's going to look like, but our hope is we can't carry on with what we've got and expect different results. So the establishment of a Māori Health Authority is an indication that this government particularly takes Māori health outcomes very seriously. Hence, our own system, our own ability to commission local services. So it won't be necessary party of bureaucrats from Wellington commissioning those local services. It will be Māori health providers commissioning for those services. And I hope for the Tai Dawhiti that we'll have people there who understands the complexities and the challenges of our region, because it is absolutely real in terms of what we saw on Sunday.
It'll only work, though, if it gets the pūtea and the resources to be able to do it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So it's all very well saying that the Māori Health Authority will turn the fortunes around. It's all very well for any organisation to be able to combat such deficit. It's not just in Te Tai Dawhiti, but it's in Te Tai Tokerau as well, too, and some of those other very isolated rural areas. So it's not just about the Māori Health Authority, but it's around the resources and the capability that the government will be able to give to the organisation. We have great confidence in the individuals. We don't have any confidence at the moment because we haven't seen how much money they've got.
So I have every confidence in Tara Mason Drury leading the thought process of this new Māori Health Authority with the people that he has surrounded himself with, so that no, they're not politicians, no, they're not bureaucrats, they're actually Māori health leaders and iwi Māori leaders. So I'm hoping with their overlook and the design of the Māori Health Authority, we're going to get something a lot closer to what our people have been calling for. So I'm pleased about that. In terms of the resourcing, what we saw in Budget 2021 was just the establishment of the Health Authority. It's not the ongoing cost. That's yet to be worked out as we build the new authority, when we embed the sort of change in practice that we want to see. So communities like the far north and like up the coast will see a marked shift than what we've got at the moment.
And so in the meanwhile, though, because it's going to take a little while to bed in, and with the dismantling of the DHBs, that transitional period is going to be very crucial for our people who require the services. It is still business as usual, and that business as usual, as you've highlighted earlier, isn't good business. So are we going to expect our whānau to get the same type, at the least the same type of services, which aren't very good anyway, but are no worse than the services that they're currently getting? So impact in the transitional, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, Claudette, the expectation, which is why we're overhauling the entire health system, is because it fundamentally hasn't delivered to Māori. And one of the barriers to that is the fact that it was almost like a lotto. It depended on where you lived in the country as to what type of service and the quality of that service that you would get. So in the proposed new structure, its ambition is it doesn't matter where you live, you should get the same quality of service. The reality, as we all know, is it's easy said, it's how you actually build a system and build the workforce capability, because not everyone is going to move to the coast. So, you know, and we've got all Northland, so we're going to still have challenges around how are we getting our people to access those specialist services that they need in a timely manner, given that they live hours away from even a town. So, you know, I watch it quite closely as it's been formed, in terms of advocating for the needs of the people I represent, to make sure that what we come out the other end is something that's fit for the purpose of our people who are rurally based and haven't been well served by the current system.
Thank you very much for that. And just one other thing, the Gisborne District Council, or your rohe, have enacted a strategy to flush mortuary waste into a different type of system. That's the first for the country. You would be very pleased with that innovation?
I am very pleased about that. That's something that our people back home, and really it was driven by the fact that we were flushing our human waste, in terms of our mortuary waste, out to the sea. And so Mana Whenua have worked, led by Ian Ruru, have worked together with GDC and have passed a piece of bylaw that is quite leading in terms of the treatment of human waste in terms of waterways. Having said that, I still have been messaged by people who have some concerns around the waste getting put into the land at the Urupa. And so even though I celebrate that, there have been one or two people raise that matter. So I'll go back to the group and just see, hey, there are still some concerns around flushing waste in the Urupa, and was this a factor in their bill? But no way, I'm not taking away the shine of something as groundbreaking as this respect. I think it's called the Respect and Dignity Bylaw Bill that was passed by GDC.
Thanks very much. Just one last question, because we haven't spoken to you for a while, so I've got to try and cram it all in within 5 minutes before we get to the news. But Minister, the Three Waters proposal, how are your people down your way responding to Three Waters? Because it ain't that they're not very happy chappies up north, especially the councils, of course. So Whangarei has voted against it. Auckland, well, you know, sure. Auckland is Auckland, so you can't expect them to be happy about anything. But in respect to Māori, those that have settled their claims feel that there's going to be an impact, and there hasn't been much discussion around the impact on treaty settlements. What about your hapu iwi down your way? Have there been any... What's been the response like from your people?
Yeah, I think everyone was just waiting for the detail to come out. And I must say, Minister Nanaia Mahuta has done an enormous amount of work on the Three Waters Review, both in terms of engaging with councils up and down the country, running up proposals of what, you know, what would happen if we don't do anything. And it's interesting that you mentioned Auckland, because we know Auckland is a special case. And it will be okay if they actually source their water locally, but I do believe it comes out of the Waikato. But anyway, that's another matter. But back down to your question, of course, our councils, and I've got 10 councils in my electorate, have all shared, not so much opposing, but just nervousness around who has control over the assets and how much of their say on the use of those four entities proposed, who owns the asset. But from my end, in terms of Māori rights and raising directly with Minister Mahuta, is how the heck are you going to pick one of the mana whenua reps when I've got 7 iwi, very strong iwi, in Ikaro Rāwhiti? Māori is glad that they see themselves in terms of the governance of the new entities, but at a practical level, which one of those 7 are going to give up the seat for the other 6?
Oh, well, good luck with that one. all the very best, G. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Wonderful to kōrero. Me tuku mihi.
Lovely to see you again. Tēnā koe.
That's Minister Mika Whaitiri. We're coming up to the news. Thanks very much for joining us here at Irangi Wātea. Ono rauma, tori te ia, dere. Coming up after 6 o'clock, it's Judge Andrew Beecroft. And we're also talking to Danella Robeck from Ngāti Pāua. They were in the Environment Court today. Hopefully we'll be able to catch up with our Oxfam Pacifica representative, Nero Vigesa. Hopefully, she's in the Solomon Islands. How wonderful it would be to talk to someone who's in the Solomon Islands.